Kaya Biz with Kuguletho Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
And this is essentially where we talk about all things legally speaking. Elements that you need to be mindful of, because we know that there's a very close relationship between the law and business. These two elements do go hand in hand in terms of how not only we run and operate the companies that we lead or work for, but also how we conduct ourselves. And this is where social media comes into play. Whether you're on Twitter, on Facebook, regardless of what the platform is, one thing is that not only do we do this to interact and connect with other people from across the world, but we also do it to share a bit of ourselves with our friends and colleagues and people that we'd like to get to know. But we also make use of these particular platforms to enhance our businesses, enhance our profiles, and of course attract the right kind of professional relationships that we hope will embark on greater economic benefits for ourselves. But let's say you're an executive or even an employee. What is it that you need to be mindful of when it comes to social media? Well, to help us understand what executives should not do on social media, we joined on the line by Mkhuseli Vangile, who is the MD of Dynasty with an E. It's a communications firm here in South Africa. Mkhuseli, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you so much, Kuku, and good evening to the Afropolitan listening. Yes, it's Dynasty with an E.
I like that. I nearly got confused with the pronunciation, but I realized that there's a trick to it, as we often do. There is a trick. Indeed, as we often see in the creative industry. And being creatives, we love to express ourselves, right? We like to share our thoughts, our opinions very publicly. So, but I understand that one does need to be very mindful of what it is that you share, especially if you happen to be an executive on social media. Before we touch on the elements that you highlight in your article, I'm keen to understand why this remains such a pertinent issue and theme that we need to be mindful of, specifically in this day and age.
There's many reasons that I can highlight why this is crucial right now. Just on a daily basis, we see somebody being destroyed by social media. Different lives that we see in the public eye being destroyed by social media. So those lives are not only... social media does not only destroy public people, celebrities alone, it also destroys executives, entrepreneurs. So, for example, a company that's looking to partner with your company as an entrepreneur, if something like that, in that example, they won't really spend much time on your website. They'll spend much time on your social media, on your personal social media, and look at your personal branding and see how you conduct yourself and see your views. If then you're posting inappropriate things, they will want you to distance themselves away from you. If you're posting racial things, if you're posting vulgar, if you're posting homophobic content, they will look at your personal profile on social media and realize that this is not the company we want to mix with, because at any given day, that person can post something very, very disturbing, and then the partners that are involved in the company will then be in disrepute as well.
Yeah.
That's why you normally see a lot of companies coming out after the social media crisis involving a celebrity. They then come out and say, we've ended our partnership with so-and-so simply because we don't believe in the sentiments that the person shares. So it's very, very crucial that the entrepreneurial space and the executives or senior people mostly treat social media as a professional tool to market themselves and market the companies they work for.
Very true. It's not just about your own personal reputation, but the organizations that you're affiliated with. And this leads us to the four areas that you have cautioned executives not to participate in or not to do on social media platforms. First one is the type of content not to comment on. That's a difficult one, because everyone wants to have an opinion on everything, right? But how should we approach this?
Indeed, especially in this day, especially right now in South Africa, there's so much information on social media that's thought-provoking. It can raise your emotions that you want to express yourself. But for executives and for entrepreneurs, that's not your feeling. Your strong feelings on certain matters are not going to build your personal brand, because what's happening right now, it's not going to be happening in 10 to 15 years to come. But your comments on such content will still be on social media in 10 to 15 years to come. So social media is never a place to have strong feelings, especially if you're not an expert in certain areas. So it's okay for politicians to express certain views on certain matters. Mm-hmm. But if you're a businessman that's dealing with JSE listed company, you have no business expressing your strong views on political issues, especially that might involve some, for example, take Phoenix. If an executive in that is a JSE listed company, mm-hmm. comment on Phoenix and they not showing any rebuke towards what had happened to Phoenix massacre, then those comments will be seen that, oh no, the person is not sincere, there's no humanity in them. Therefore, that could lead to that executive trending on Twitter or even Facebook, and then that will cause a lot of issues for the company that the executive works for and for the executive, including the family of the executive. Because think about it, it's never just you who's trending on Twitter that is in trouble. It's also the people around you.
Yeah.
When you trend, you start to lose those deals, and when you lose those deals, the livelihoods of your entire family is affected negatively. So you better not use, we recommend that you don't use social media if you are not an expert on a topic to express your feelings, because you might affect your personal brand negatively.
Exactly. It could all come back to affect you. And as you say, it's about who and what you affiliate yourself with. And sometimes you might not even say the negative things, but it's the people around you or the people that you choose to associate with. And automatically that gets translated as you being in support of that narrative. And that goes to points 3 and 4 about the types of comments one allows on their channels, as well as tag permissions, where other people, other industries, other institutions can actually add your name and say, hey, Gugumfuphi, you're also affiliated to this other radio station. Which might or might not be the case, but I understand that can be very troublesome as well.
It is very troubling. So think about it. If somebody makes a joke that enforces stereotype about one of our South African tribes, and you as an executive, you comment with a smiling emoji, it literally means you're subscribing to that stereotype. You're agreeing with it. So somebody goes online and search your name and find out, oh, actually Google is laughing at this. That is offensive. It's offensive to laugh at this joke. So then I do not want to associate myself with Google.
Mm.
And then also, if then Google works for KFM, that means KFM accepts people with such stereotypes. Therefore, it will not make any good business partnership to go partner with KFM or even partner with Google, work with Google, because Google subscribes to certain beliefs or certain stereotypes about a group of people in our society. So just on the commenting side, you never want to let certain comments such as vulgar, racial slurs, or any discrimination towards any group in our society live in your social media platform. Because if you let them live like that, it means you didn't see anything wrong with them. You either block or block the person, or you comment, replying to that comment, saying such comments are not going to be welcome in here. Because we're not only thinking about now, we're thinking about what's going to happen 10 years from now. Think about the lady that was trying to answer for Miss SA last year. People went on to dig tweets from 10 years.
Yes, you're right. I recall that scenario.
Yes, so when you connect yourself on social media today, when people are searching for you 10 years from now, they should not think, oh, really, this is what you used to believe in. This is really how you see other people. So very, very important that you gatekeep the comments that live in your social media channels. And also the tagging part is very, very important. Very, 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 very important. This can break and does break people. Remember, over the weekend, you're not a CEO, you're not a financial executive, you're not an entrepreneur, you're a brother, you're a sister, you're a daughter, you are just a normal human being.
Yes.
And you get to do what human beings do, you know. Sometimes human beings do inappropriate things, so you don't want such things to be seen by the public. So if you don't have a tagging permission on your social media, it will be easy for your family or your friends or anybody to destroy your brand image unintentionally, because you just allow everything to be tagged in your profile. You might allow a very inappropriate sexual content live in your profile. You want to really, really enforce the permission button on your social media to make sure that everything that's tagging you, you approve it first.
Exactly.
You must approve it first before you can accept any content in your social.
It's a fine line to balance, as you mentioned. But of course, there are tools within which you can use to make sure that you get the power and put it back into your hands to manage your social media accordingly. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Uputumkhuseli Vangile. He is the MD of the Dynasty Communications firm. That's Dynasty with an E. And he's been helping us understand the landscape and reflect on an article he recently published about the four things executives should not do on social media. We've touched on a few of them very briefly, understanding the type of content not to comment on, the frequency of your posting, the types of comments you allow on your channel, and of course, tag permissions. This is where other people, other institutions, someone with a whole different opinion can actually tag you or associate and affiliate themselves with you or your organization, which could then potentially bring you into disrepute. Well, we're keen to take your questions on this particular theme, and you can dial in on 086-000-959, specifically because many of us might be executives within our own companies or for the institutions that we work for and co-found, but some of us are also employees. And you might think that just having to work within the communications department, within operations or technical in your company, you still have the flexibility to be yourself, even on social media. You can come back in here to help us with this part of the conversation. I'm well aware that you're not a legal expert, but I am aware that as a leader within the organization you serve and within the creative industry space, like you said, you probably look at someone's social media counts before you hire them, before you work with them, before you maybe even do this interview on Kaya Biz with myself. I assume you might have even gone through my social media. And I guess that's what we need to be mindful of as a leader within the industry. What is it that you monitor about someone's social media and deciding if they are a capable citizen or capable candidate to work and be affiliated with your company?
All right. So as we're speaking right now, people that are searching for the Dynasty Communications firm, they're going to land on our site, right? But when we, as the hiring managers and the senior executives that are looking to employment or looking to partnering with any business, we go to the person's social media. So social media acts as a website for the person, for an individual. We have to look at your social media. That's where we join our investigation. Does what you post online reflect what you stand for as a company? You know, that's how we were able as businesses to protect ourselves in that regard. We don't hire somebody that's racist, because that's clearly going to cause the company a lot of money, going to bring us a lot of trouble. And we also don't want to just post anybody that doesn't care to what they post online. So the people that normally go, wherever they go and they post something, I personally feel like you wouldn't protect the information that's circulating among the business, within the business, that you would post everything that's being discussed and you're going to give our competitors inside information that we wouldn't want. So the first thing that we look at, definitely social media, when we're hiring people or even considering to have interviews with people, we start looking into social media and how you behave on social media. The things that you say, the things that you retweet, the things that you like. We look into all of that. Those that normally get away with it are those that privatize their accounts. You can't get that information if then the account of an individual is private. So we'll then rely on an old traditional way of hiring.
But as we say, everything's just a screenshot away, right? All it takes is for someone who has access to that account to screenshot it and share it with other people or share it publicly, and then the word is out. But you're quite right. It plays a very important role in terms of who you choose to hire and who you bring on board in your company. I understand that we have managed to fix the line with Usis Nonklangla just to get some of the legal understanding of this and if it might play a role within one's employment contract, whether you're a freelancer, a sole proprietor, or even going to be employed full-time by an organization, what considerations do we need to be mindful of? We've got Nonklangla Mjali on the line. She's an attorney and founder of The Legal Blog. I'm hoping the technical gremlins are out of the way. Nonklangla, can you hear us?
Yes, good evening, Kuku, and good evening to the listeners.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Nonklangla. I guess you're the legal expert. Does our social media interactions and presence play an influence on the kind of employment that we're able to find? And are we seeing that there's going to be, I guess, some kind of inclusion of this in our employment contracts going forward?
So, yes, definitely. What you do post on any social media platform may influence whether or not an employer chooses to employ you or whether or not you're an ideal or suitable candidate for a certain job, even if you're not employed on a full-time basis or you're a freelancer. Because most often than not, when people think of a certain company, you tend to affiliate it with an image or a brand or some sort of culture. So if it just so happens that you're employed by that entity and it so happens that what you post on social media is sometimes offensive, you know, it's derogatory, or it contrasts that which the brand that the company is building, it is certainly plausible and legal for the company either to choose to terminate your employment contract after, of course, following the necessary procedures, or not to hire you at all. In terms of trends, we do also see that many employees are also moving towards monitoring what some of the employees are doing, or doing like some sort of background search prior to actually employing you, so they have some sort of idea or understanding of the type of person they're employing you. And because social media plays such an important part on our day-to-day lives, we've seen over the past couple of months, if not years really, when something trends on social media, especially if it trends for the wrong reasons, it doesn't always bring about the company in a good image, or it drags their reputation and so forth. So companies are certainly conscious of users and social media and what their employees do post. And of course, the gist of it is actually being able to regulate what employees post using their employment contract. In some instances, you'd find, you know, your company expressly says that, you know, there is a prohibition of some sort on the content they're posting on social media, or that they are actually making you aware that they are monitoring what you post on social media.
Ooh, so Big Brother's always watching. Just on that, if I happen to post an offensive tweet, we have heard from our previous guest, Tuputu Mkuseli, that companies are watching, and you've confirmed that. So let's say I say something that Kaya FM doesn't necessarily agree with. Are there legal grounds for me to be removed from my position and fired, essentially?
Like, the starting point would be what is specified or what is set out in your employment contract. If your employment contract expressly states, you know, what would constitute something that's offensive or derogatory, then yes, it's certainly plausible for your employer to dismiss you. And in the absence of your employment contract not having any provision or dealing with social media, you may find that you may be called into a disciplinary hearing, you may be given a warning of some sort, or there will be some sort of internal protocol that's followed in terms of disciplining you as an employee. It may not always lead to an immediate dismissal, but of course it would depend on context, the nature of the content you've put on social media, you know, the damage it has had on your employee's reputation, and the nature or how it's broken down your employment relationship with your employer are some of the factors that your employer would bear in mind when dealing with this matter of an employee putting up social media content that's offensive, rather.
Hey, Nhlanhla, you are educating us here today for us to be mindful of what it is that we put out there. But I think as we wrap up this conversation, very critical things were mentioned by Abut Mkoseli as well as Usis Nhlanhla. But I think as we wrap it up with Usis Nhlanhla to give us some clarity on this conversation, let's actually start off by understanding what we can do as employees, as employers, as entrepreneurs to actually protect ourselves and make sure that we don't find ourselves on the wrong side of the law. So Nhlanhla, where do we need to start? Is it a conversation that takes place at the point of discussing your employment contract? Or if you happen to be the entrepreneur yourself, how do you find ways of managing this from a legal point of view?
Okay, so for persons who are employees, it's better suited that you try and navigate it through your employment contract. You know, you may ask prior to you signing your employment contract, I have the conversation with your employer, you know, ask them to be expressed in that. What is it that they are of the view that is completely prohibited? What may be a consequence if it so happens that you are called into a disciplinary hearing for posting offensive content on social media and so forth? And for those who find themselves to be entrepreneurs, it may be difficult because when people see you, they also see your brand. So I don't know if it's a great deal if you want to look at it holistically in terms of being more conscious as to what you put on social media, specifically for entities that are rather small. Because when you think of the brand, you think of the same person. So it's more of you being more conscious of what you put on social media because you are, in essence, your own employer. So there may not be an employer who would be able to reprimand you, but perhaps I'm reflecting on how you can what you put on social media and being more conscious of what seems to be offensive when you put it up on social media.
Indeed. Very important lessons there. Thank you so much, Nhlanhla, for that feedback as well as Mkuseli. But before we do wrap up, Koketso, we're going to try your line one more time. I'm crossing my fingers and my big toe to make sure that we can hear you clearly. Koketso, welcome to Kaya Biz. You have a comment on this particular topic.
Yes, I do. I'm a business person. I'm an employer. And I feel that, these laws are very discriminatory because, they perpetrate a culture where, people cannot voice, their opinion. It should not matter what your opinion is, as long as your opinion does not go directly against the culture of the company or rather the laws of the company. But now, if, for instance, you feel that, one particular company that you're working for is being discriminatory against the masses, then, you should not be sort of mulled into not voicing out your opinion, how do we then get these companies to actually account, socially? People are going to say that, look, you can't post anything on social media. Look, we would understand if you were talking about homophobia, if you were talking about, racism,
yes.
Then we would understand your stance. But then you find that people don't get employed simply because, they feel that I don't want to move. But they feel that, say, for instance, Shoprite is not paying their employees correctly. But now, because you have voiced that opinion, you can't be employed, by Shoprite. Not that, you really want, but you want everyone to get fair treatment. And the only way we can voice those opinions is through social media, unfortunately. Yes,
it's a tough one. Yeah, I would go get it. And you're quite right. It goes, that fine balance between what works for the organization, what works for the individual, and finding that sweet spot to allow individuals the kind of freedom of speech that they want, but also bearing in mind that, unfortunately, all business deals are built up on relationships, and they take a while to foster, but can be destroyed within minutes, depending on the words or sentences.
At the end of the day, look, I think that, the general public, companies should take more responsibility in ensuring that, the general public benefits from whatever that they are offering. The general public should not be mouth. That's my only issue. And I'm saying this as an employer myself. I want my employees to tell me if there's something that they do not agree with in the company. Mm-hmm. But now, with this, it means that, your employees can never say anything to you. Instead, they'll try and suck up to you, suck up to things that are not right, That's my opinion.
I agree with you, and to a certain extent, but I also think that this is where then entrepreneurs like yourselves have the opportunity to create that safe space where people can actually come to you, Abud Kokete, so to say, I don't agree with 1, 2, 3 and the following, instead of posting it on social media. Is that something that you're implementing in your business at all?
Yes, but look, at the end of the day, you look at all the small businesses. They always look at the employees. This is something that I've picked up from the friends that I have who are also, employers. This is something that, they always implement. However, I think small businesses are not really the focus when it comes to this kind of thing. The focus here is that, yes, it's a big corporate. Were that many, I was in corporate before I started my own business.
Yes.
You experience racism, but you can't say anything.
Uh-huh.
You'd experience discrimination. You can't say anything.
I get you. Unfortunately, I have to leave it there for time purposes because we have gone over. But you mentioned something very critical that we will definitely make sure we build up in future conversations here on Kaya Biz, which is addressing some of those issues. Racism, discrimination, mental wellness, bullying within the workplace. And you're quite right. How then do we approach those kind of sensitive issues which speak directly to the well-being of staff, the well-being of the business and their productivity, how those do need to be raised? We definitely will touch on that. But thank you so much for your call and being such an active participant on the show. We really appreciate your feedback. A big thank you to both our guests as well. Usisnonklang Kamjali, she is an attorney and founder of the legal blog, as well as Uputum Kuseli Vangele, who is the MD of Dynasty Communications Firm, who have helped us unpack this dynamic of what executives should do or should not do, rather, on social media platforms, but how that also translates into individuals who might not be executives, middle management, junior staff, just starting off in the workplace. How do you balance being the cool kid on social media, trying to share your opinion with the world, but making sure that it doesn't jeopardize your opportunities for growth and further growth in your career going forward? A big thank you to both our guests and, of course, for you, Abud Kokete, for participating in this conversation.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.